The Boundary Waters Natural Area straddles the line between the United States and northern Minnesota and Ontario. It's a sprawling collection of waterways and bogs loved by canoeists, campers, and anglers.
Our next guest spent a year there to bear witness to its fragile beauty and raise awareness about the dangers posed by a proposed sulfide or copper mining project on the edge of the Boundary Waters.
Amy and Dave Freeman join us now. They're the authors of A Year in the Wilderness, Bearing Witness in the Boundary Waters. They were named Adventurers of the Year in 2014. By National Geographic Magazine, and they're speaking this Sunday at the Wisconsin Book Festival at 10:30 at the Central Library. Amy and Dave, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
Well, Amy, let's start with you. When you began, you and Dave weren't what you'd call political. It sounds like you wanted to educate the public about the joys of the wilderness, and that didn't necessarily include political issues or activism. Amy, what got you concerned about the prospect of this copper mine near the Boundary Waters?
Right. Well, the Boundary Waters is a very precious wilderness area to both Dave and myself personally, because it's the first place we were exposed to wilderness as kids. And we work in the area as guides, so canoeing guides in the summer, dog sledding guides in the winter. And, you know, through that, we had been educating people about the wilderness, getting them outdoors, enjoying it. And when we heard about the proposed mines near the edge of the wilderness, that's when we started to get concerned. This type of mining has a terrible track record of polluting ground and surface water.
And Dave, what about you? Is there anything more that made you think this is the time to change and to take more of an activist stance?
Well, I think, you know, in this instance, we really see our jobs and our way of life at risk. This mine would probably bring about 400 jobs to the region, but a recent study shows that over 4,000 jobs could be lost because our wilderness edge economy really relies on this wilderness. And I think the more we learned, the more concerned we got, and we realized that, you know, we aren't lawyers, we don't have a lot of money, we're not scientists. Sort of the way we could get involved was by using our skills of traveling in the wilderness and storytelling, and that's sort of how we got involved. We just wanted to use, you know, the skills that we have to be able to protect this place that's given us so much.
And the both of you have kayaked all over the world. Dave, what is it that makes the Boundary Waters special?
Oh, you know, we've traveled over 30,000 miles by canoe, kayak, and dog sled. We've crossed both North and South America under our own power, and the Boundary Waters is truly like no other place. It's home to timber wolves and bears, some of the best freshwater fishing in the country. The Superior National Forest is 3 million acres. A million of that is the Boundary Waters Canary Wilderness. It's the largest wilderness area east of the Rockies and north of the Everglades. And the Superior National Forest contains 20% of all the freshwater in all of our national forests in the entire country. And you can dip your cup right in the lake and drink the water right out of the lake. There are very few places left in this world that are like that, and it's just too precious to risk.
And Amy, tell us how you first decided that what you were going to do is you were going to spend an entire year in the Boundary Waters. How did you come to that decision?
Sure. Well, there were two things that factored in there. Before spending a year in the wilderness, we paddled from the proposed mine site near Ely to Washington, D.C., and that was in the late fall of 2014. And when we did that, we kind of thought, oh, we should do something more. You know, what could we do? And we realized that being in the place would be the most important thing. You know, we could share the place, let others live vicariously through our blog posts and photos and videos that we were posting online.
And that was important to you, this outreach, so you could be completely immersed in the wilderness of the Boundary Waters, but you still had to be reaching out to the rest of the world and showing the world what you were doing. How did you mix kind of the high-tech, low-tech aspect of this, Dave?
Yeah, you know, We saw our portable satellite terminal and a handful of small portable solar panels and, you know, cameras and things like that we had really as tools, just like we had a tent and sleeping bags and cooking pots. And so, you know, we used them for a specific thing to sort of capture and share the experience. But most of the time we were unplugged. You know, we were doing the things that you would think of doing when you were out camping. So I guess we just tried to be mindful of it. We wanted to use it to sort of share the wilderness, but we didn't want to let those electronics sort of have a negative impact on our experience.
And I got to ask you about the packing and the planning. I mean, I have packed for 2 weeks away, maybe 3 weeks, never an entire year. How do you provision yourself and plan all of that aspect for being in a boat, you know, through different seasons, four different seasons for an entire year, Amy?
Yeah, it was a lot of logistics to iron out before we headed into the wilderness. Fortunately, we had an expedition manager, Levi Lexold, who was working with the Campaign to Save the Boundary Waters. So he did a lot of the behind-the-scenes action for us, like getting resupplies sent in to us, buying groceries, that kind of thing. But before we left, we spent a lot of time organizing our gear so that, you know, Levi knew exactly where it was when it, you know, winter rolled around and it was time to pull out the warm wool socks and the toboggans and stuff like that.
We're talking to Amy and Dave Freeman. They're the authors of A Year in the Wilderness, Bearing Witness in the Boundary Waters. They were named Adventurers of the Year in 2014 by National Geographic magazine. And Dave, let's get into the trip itself. You left in fall, which seems like kind of a rough time to get going because, you know, in the northern parts of the state, fall doesn't always last that long. It's not always very warm. But that's when you set out. What were those first weeks like heading into the colder weather?
Oh, the fall in the Boundary Waters, I think, is our favorite time. You know, after Labor Day, the leaves start changing, it gets cool, there aren't any bugs, and it's a magical time to be in the wilderness. And it does get harder, you know, as the lake starts to freeze. Sort of this time of year, end of October, beginning of November, it is harder in the winter. But you know, we found that special things about being out there throughout the whole year. And I think this time of year, as the lakes were freezing, was probably the most challenging time, but it was also our favorite time because, you know, we had to learn new skills that we had never had to do, even in years spent out in wild places from the Amazon to the Arctic, you know, figuring out how we could ram our canoe up onto thin ice and then get out and safely walk across the thin ice and then get back into an unfrozen part 100 yards away. You know, there are all these new challenges that we had to overcome. We had wolves run through our campsite. We had wolves that we could hear fishing across the lake in the rapids, fishing for ciscos that were spawning. And there were all sorts of magical things that happened during this time.
Yeah, the wolves seem like they're a real part of this narrative. You hear them before you see them. What was that like? Is it something that sent a shiver up your spine, or was it just kind of awe and wonder?
I would say awe and wonder. We've traveled in this area for a long time, for most of our lives, by canoe and with dogs in the winter. And so we knew that the wolves, you know, they're not out to get us. But the North Woods is home for the wolves. So they're an animal we definitely respect, and we're excited anytime we hear or see them.
And Amy, there's a picture of you in the book wearing, it must be like a full-body wetsuit, but it doesn't look like what I think of, you know, as a surfing wetsuit, and you're in a little hole in an icy lake. Was that about trying to make sure you stayed safe and warm? I mean, did you ever fear for your survival because temperatures were so cold?
That was part of our safety gear when we were traveling on thin ice. So it's actually a dry suit, which someone would use, you know, paddling a canoe or kayak in cold water. So yeah, in that photo, I was testing it out, and I was pretty, you know, happy and warm. It's all about, you know, the layers you wear underneath it, and I was staying completely dry in that.
And Dave, you write in the book about the appeal of this trip, and for someone who might not have done this, can you put that into words? What is it you love about being testing your limits and being in this completely wild area and living in a wild way for a year?
You know, I think it's the simplicity. You know, you really, when you travel in the wilderness, it really distills things down to their very essence. You know, it's clean water to drink, it's food to eat, a basic shelter, you know, spending time with people that you care about and having a sense of purpose. You know, we had all of those things, and we didn't really have much else. And I think that's what draws us back over and over to wild places, is because it really brings into sharp focus what's important, what really matters, what we really need in life.
Do you think you met your goal? Did you draw that focus to the beauty of the Boundary Waters, and also why it's important not to take it for granted, Amy?
Yeah, I do think so. Based on feedback we received from, you know, thousands of people via social media, and also the people who came in and met with us while we were there, we actually had over 300 people volunteer to deliver resupplies to us during the course of the year, and we just heard so many touching stories from people who were inspired by what we were doing and who have a really deep love of this place.
Now, I'm from Wisconsin, and I've never been there. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away, but I've never been to the Boundary Waters. If people read your book and they have this response that I did, and they want to go there themselves, maybe not for a year in a canoe, how can they get started? What's a good way?
Well, the Boundary Waters is our most popular wilderness area. More people visit the Boundary Waters than any other wilderness in the country, and it's been that way ever since the Wilderness Act passed in 1964. It is an amazing wilderness because you see toddlers out there with their parents, and you see people in their 70s, even their 80s. And there's a whole network of outfitters and guides that are set up to help you. So you can rent everything you need, or you can just rent a canoe. You can bring a guide, or you can do a self-guided trip. So it's something that we would encourage everyone to do. So just do a search, you know, Boundary Waters Canoe Trip or Boundary Waters Outfitting, and you can go from there.
Dave and Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Amy and Dave Freeman. They're the authors of A Year in the Wilderness, Bearing Witness in the Boundary Waters. They were named Adventurers of the Year by National Geographic. They'll be speaking at the Wisconsin Book Festival at 10:30 a.m. this Sunday in Madison.
There's more coming up here on Central Time.